It's so great to have you with us today. A few things we want to accomplish today. Every year at this time, Jerry asked me to speak at all three services and to present to you what happens at Thrive Student Ministries. We have so many new people in the church. It's difficult to keep up with everybody and to help you be informed on what's going on. So we're going to do that today. We're also going to talk about all the children's ministries, all right? We're going to have Brandon Geege's going to join us in a few minutes and talk about the mission trip that we went on this summer. And then we're going to spend a few minutes looking at a title that I'm calling The Pilot in the Plane. And we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 2 today. So if you want to pull that up on your iPad or your phone, or if you're old school and you actually have a physical Bible with you, you could turn there as well. We'll be there in just a few minutes. As I mentioned, I'm Pencil Boone, the pastor of Student Ministries. And let's just take a look at all the things that are going on in our ministries here at our church. It is a busy place. About 12 years ago, Pastor was here on the Saturday morning. I remember him telling me the story, and he just felt like God was just urging him to come here. So he came here on the Saturday, and he sat right over here on the steps. And he was just really asking God, what is it you want us to do at this church? Where do you want us to go? Who do you want us to impact? Who do you want us to reach? And he said it was as clear as if God had audibly spoken to him. At that time, that development across the street was just starting to go up. And it was God said to him, Jerry, look, there are all kinds of young families and children at your doorstep. Reach those people at your doorstep and bring them in. At that time, our nursery was down in the basement, and as Jerry always says, it was dingy. It was just awful, okay? I'll just be honest with you. It was awful. So the first thing we did was we put up the nursery. And praise God, we've almost outgrown it. It's been tremendous what God has done in our nursery, but a great safe place. And again, if you want to have your child in church with us, we've got no problems with that. We would just ask you, keep them a little closer to the back. They get a little fussy. You can slide out. There's monitors outside that are on or in the calf. Or you can, of course, take them into the nursery. We would love for you to feel comfortable with your kid. It's a secure, safe place, okay? Now, for those of you that don't know we have student minister that don't know that we have adult Bible fellowships going on right now. Adult Bible fellowships is a new name for Sunday school, okay? Downstairs, there are several different opportunities going on right now for adults in all sorts of ages. And so for the families that come that are going downstairs right now, and then at 11 o'clock, they're going to come and worship in here, we have a program called Kidmo for those kids. Matter of fact, starting today, we're going to break that up. It's going to be kindergarten through second grade, and then third grade through fifth grade. And Kidmo is a great opportunity for your kid to get Sunday school. Smaller setting, one-on-one with a teacher, being able to really get an idea of what God is saying to them at their young ages, all right? Then, if you're downstairs and you're going to come worship up here during 11 o'clock, then your children have an opportunity to head to their children's services after that. That's Wombaland and Upstreet. Wombaland is for when your child turns 3. Now, what we ask you to do is act just like kindergarten. If they turn 3 during the year, wait till the fall and then slide them over to Wombaland. The only thing we ask is that they're 3 and that they're potty trained. If they're not potty trained, they're still with you for a while, okay? So that's the only thing we really ask. But Wombaland is a great way. It's Swahili, and it's basically just helping our child, your child, to understand how awesome God is and the role that they have in this world. That's for kids 3 to kindergarten. I'll never forget one year I had a little girl come running across the thing and said to me, or the foyer, and said, Pastor Pencil, I get to go to Wombaland now. And I was like, whoa. But that's what it's about. Then when they become kindergarten age, and today, by the way, is the transition day, everybody's made the step up today, they go to Upstreet. That used to be a balcony. We used to seat 1,300 people. 11 years, this Thanksgiving weekend, we opened that. It's about a 6,200 square foot auditorium and breakout rooms. And if you've never been up there, it's unbelievable. They do all sorts of wonderful things with sets. My favorite is the 48-foot pirate ship with cannons that actually go in the doors. It's awesome. It's just a great program for your kids. And I would implore you, get your kids involved in Upstreet and in Wombaland. And then I love this ministry. This is Greenlight Ministries, and I wrote this down today because I wanted to make sure that I said this in the right way. Greenlight is a creative, nurturing environment for children with special needs. That takes place at 11 o'clock. I'll never forget, a few years ago, a lady came up to us and said, I've never been able to be in our worship service because I have kids with special needs and I am constantly taking care of them. And we realized that was a hole we needed to fill, an opportunity for mom and dad to be able to come in here, for lack of a better word, get their sponge refilled with water so they could go out and nurture their little one afterwards. We become so dry. And they needed that. And it's a great program. It takes place at 11 o'clock downstairs in the room to the right of the stairwell. And it's a tremendous opportunity. And that is one-on-one instruction for those special, special kids. And it's such a great ministry. And those are some of the things that are going on in our children's ministry. Now, coming back on September 9th, and these take place all year long. September 9th, coming back on September 9th. We have, for lack of better phrase, this is our scouting program, okay? We started it last year, and it was a huge success. We have American Heritage Girls for the girls, Trail Life for the guys. We started out kindergarten through age 12 last year. They meet every Sunday night starting September the 9th when all of our other services are going on, including our student service. They meet September 9th through the end of April, and they do some activities during the summer, but that's their instruction time, their scouting time for American Heritage Girls and Trail Life. This year, starting September the 9th, every other week, we're going to add those that are above sixth grade that would like to be involved. We're going to do it every other week, 4:30 to 5:30, so they can still be involved in our youth ministries, all right? So I hope that's clear. All right, moving along. Thrive Youth Group, it meets, going through puberty again. It meets, it's about my 400th time because I've been in puberty for a while now. It meets, I hope Jerry's not watching this service. It meets every Wednesday night except Easter week and Christmas week, okay? And it is youth group, okay? It is, like this week, we open the doors at 6:00. So the kids can play the arcades. The arcades are free. They have fun. And then we have some type of announcements and then some type of an activity, and it's for 6th grade through 12th grade, okay? And the activity is usually something weird, something pencil-esque, all right? This week, we played soccer, boys against the girls. The girls were on their feet playing soccer the normal way. The guys had to crab walk, or when I blew the whistle, they had to roll on the floor toward the ball. It was the funniest thing I have ever seen. The crazy thing was no one scored, but it was a lot of fun. It was great. I don't know how good it was for the kids, but for me, it was awesome, all right? And then at about 10 to 7, we have a snack, and then we have age-appropriate groups. The 6th graders through 8th graders go in with Eric Conway, who's been teaching for a number of years for us on Wednesday nights, and they have a Bible study. The high schoolers come in with me and Steve McDonald, and we have a Bible study. And so that's youth group on Wednesday nights. Did we miss the Thrive AM one, guys? Can we go back to that one if I said please? Is that possible? Maybe? One more? Thrive Youth Group. Thrive AM and... No. Okay. Oh, there it is. It's right there. How did I miss that? I don't know. This is me we're talking about, okay? Could be my last Sunday ever doing this, so I'm just telling you. All right. Thrive AM takes place 9:30 every Sunday when the adult Bible fellowships are going on. We have something going on. It's middle schoolers, 6th grade through 8th grade. We have a team of teachers, Rusty Boone, Dan and Una Purvis, and Colby Wilbur. Colby is one of my former students who's now just graduated as a pastor, and Colby's working with our kids, and it has been awesome. A former student now reaching the next generation. That's what it's about. High school, they have my wife Martha and Ryan Cullen. Ryan, another one. When I started 9 years ago, he was one of our students, now is teaching, and has gone on 5 mission trips with me. Great guy. That takes place on Sunday mornings. And 9:30 to quarter 11 or so. And during the summer, about 50 to 60 students. In the winter, fall and winter, there'll be anywhere from 60 to 90 students, and then college and career is also down there. They meet around the fireplace, and that's Jeff Benjamin, Dr. Benjamin, and Chad Linehan. All right. Thank you, guys. Sorry for being such a problem this morning. Thrive Extra Hours. We started it 2 years ago. It was such a great thing. This is what we're doing. Wednesday nights, or Wednesday afternoons, Friday afternoons, 2:45 to 5, kids can just come and live here. Just come. Come to Thrive Student Center. They can play the games, the arcades. Everything's free. If you haven't seen the Thrive Student Center, see me. I'll give you a tour afterwards, okay? Seriously, you need to see it. By the way, it just celebrated its fifth anniversary on July 28th, and I want to thank you again because you were the ones that built that building. So thank you so very much for that. And we just live with the kids. Some of them are doing homework. Some of them are playing on the arcades. We're just living life. And it's a great opportunity. Now, one of the things we do, and I've never advertised this before, but I'm going to do it right now. If your student comes on Wednesday afternoons and they want to stay through youth group, I will feed them for free. You just drop them off at 2:30, 2:45, whatever you can, and pick them up at 7:30. You are taking them home because I'm not taking them with me. I'm just telling you, okay? I love them, but that's a long day, okay? But that's what we'll do. I will make them supper and give them supper that night if they stay for youth group because we want to avail every opportunity for your kids to be involved, okay? Now, moving. Every year, for the past 8 years, we've had an opportunity to go on a mission trip. We go to one of the inner cities. This year, we went to Detroit. There were 21 students and 5 chaperones, counting myself. And you have to be, when we go with the Center for Student Missions, you have to be finished 8th grade, going into 9th grade to be eligible to go on the trip. And right now I'm going to brand out our drummer, Mr. Brandon Gee. Give Brandon a hand, please. Hey, Geeks.
See, I was trying to figure out what I was going to say when I first got up here, but now that I'm standing in front of a bunch of people, y'all are intimidating, and I just went blank. So,
this was your first mission trip.
It was.
Brandon, by the way, made the video for us, and hopefully we're going to show that video during our missions conference. We will show it downstairs, and we're going to make it available on our website as well. But Brandon, let's talk about CAS. We went to CAS Ministries. They do several different things in Detroit. Briefly, let's talk about the first day. First day, we show up. You and I got good jobs. What did you do first day?
Oh, man, first day. Honestly, it was just so busy. Where did we go? We worked, like, half of the day, and the other day, we were just kind of, like, settling in.
Yep, on our prayer tour.
On our prayer tour. The prayer tour was great. We got to see a lot of Detroit and the city. I'd never been to Detroit before, so the prayer tour was great because we got to see, like, the suburbs and the city itself, all of the landmarks and stuff like that. We got to learn a lot of history about it, and it was great. It was a great way to start because I had no idea where we were going, what we were doing, so.
Then we went to CAS, and you ended up having to mop that day. Now, how is mopping serving Jesus?
Where
were you mopping at?
I was mopping in a kitchen that they prepare food for the homeless, I believe, and poverty-infected people around Detroit, and it was great. One of the jobs I chose to do was mop, and that was kind of an inside joke for the rest of the trip because I was known as the mopper kid. there were other jobs around that kitchen that honestly were worse than mopping. Like, I remember you were cleaning out gutters with a kitchen knife, which you said was really gross. But mopping, I knew how to do. It was easy, and it wasn't totally disgusting because I don't think I would be able to clean out those gutters like you did because it was disgusting. And I remember other kids cleaned out dumpsters, which I also think you did.
Yep.
Pencil got all the dirty jobs. It was gross. I just felt like mopping had to get done because the floor was gross. We cleaned the entire kitchen. We organized everything. We wiped everything down, and we cleaned it because it was dirty when we got there, and it was pretty clean when we left, so I feel like mopping just had to be done, and no one else wanted to do it, so I just figured I'd get it done, and it helped out a lot. But unfortunately, it was an inside joke for the rest of the trip. So, yeah.
If you could sum up what the mission trip meant to you in a sentence, what would that be, Geeks? I know that's a hard question.
Life-changing, I guess. That's the best I could do because I brought this up. We had a debriefing every night, and I feel like every debriefing night I brought up the fact that going into the mission trip and going into Detroit, I had like a lot of expectations and assumptions about the city, because like Detroit, you see like a lot of stuff on TV shows and movies and stuff about, I don't know, like gang fights and shootings and stuff like that. And that's basically what I had in mind going into Detroit. Like, pass a guy on the street, you kind of want to avoid him so you don't like have to interact and, I don't know, something bad happens. But once you actually got there, the people that you passed on the street and the people sitting on their front porches, you say hi, they waved, they smiled at you. They were just the nicest people ever. And it was great. It was nothing. It really hit me hard in the face that I was completely wrong about what I thought about Detroit. And the people were just like the nicest people I've ever met. And I remember, I'll never forget the words that you said. I think it was our last morning where you were talking to God and you were like, God, I grew up in Michigan. How could you give up on my city? Because the missions company that we were working with, after us, they had one more group coming in and then they were leaving Detroit. So I remember you said, God, how could you give up on my city? But if you were there and you saw the companies that we were working with and the people that we were working with, you know that he's not abandoning Amen. That city, because he is leaving it in good hands.
Amen. So Amen.
That's really what hit me hard.
Brandon, everybody, give him a hand, will you?
Thanks, Dave.
It is a privilege to go with your kids. Every year, the cities with the Center for Student Mission fight over who's going to get us. And it's because of your kids. One day we went and we were at a place that was unpacking pallets of food that was given to them to be able to distribute throughout eastern Michigan. And they'd been there for 52 years, and the record was 26 pallets being unpacked and repacked in 2 hours. We had 26 pallets done in an hour, and your kids packed 34 pallets in 2 hours, and they couldn't keep up with us. And the guy said to me, he said, Pastor, I have never seen a group more dedicated to getting a job done than yours. And that's your kids. So will you give your kids a hand for me? We have a lot of activities that go on at Thrive Student Center. For instance, this afternoon we have our end of summer party. And whoever thought of the idea to have that on the same day he had to preach three times was stupid, but I'll talk to him afterwards. Oh, that'd be me. But anyways, that's this afternoon. We're going to have a great time out at Pushaw. Love to have your kids come. If they're just going into sixth grade in the next few days, they qualify. Sixth grade through 12th grade, we'll be out there from 3 to 6:30. We're going to have a great, great afternoon. We also do things like our BFFF party, Bonfire Food Fun Fall Party. We go to a 400-acre farm in Brewer, Maine. We get a catered supper, and then the kids are taken out by horse-drawn wagons out into the middle, and we have a bonfire that's literally so big you can see it from the space station in space. So it's big, and it's a great, great night, and it's a great opportunity for your students to bring their friends. The last 2 years, we've averaged 240 kids in two nights. Let me tell you, that's a weekend. All right. We have movie nights. They start in September. Every month, we'll have a movie night through May. And they're down in the Thrive Center, and they're absolutely free. Concessions are on sale in the Thrive Diner. Next. We always have a New Year's Eve party as well. And one of the highlights of the New Year's Eve party is this. At about 11:20, the refuel team leads us in worship, and we have a short devotional together. We bring in the new year by worshiping God. And I tell you, when you have 120 kids worshiping God, bringing in a New Year's, you will never see New Year's Eve the same way again. It is just absolutely a tremendous, tremendous experience. Yep. We've got a new experience coming to the Thrive Center this year called Arcade Alley. The guys got all the lighting in last week. Some brick walls are going up this week. I don't want to give too much away, but it's going to be really cool. And again, we're trying to create an atmosphere that's fun, that kids want to come to, that's safe, and a place where we can share Jesus with them. All right, so that's coming up as well. And then September 9th, this is our student service, all right? People always say, what is Refuel? It's our student service. When all the services return at the church on Sunday nights in September, we have a student service down at the Thrive Student Center. Doors open at 5. 5 to 6, all the games are on. The Patriots are on. We have a great time. It's loud. It's noisy. It's awesome. All right? And then about 10 minutes to 6, we have some announcements, and then the Refuel Band leads us in worship, and then I teach on a topic that's relevant to our students. This year, as we've done for the past 4 years, the kids are getting a commemorative T-shirt. Our first series this year is called Marvelous Avengers. They're getting this logo on a charcoal shirt. It's got white student ministry, Thrive Student Ministries on the back, and the first 100 that show up get a free T-shirt that night and free pizza that night as well, and that's our student ministry, or our student service called Refuel, returning September 9th. Finally, parents, I always have people say to me, the best way to stay plugged in, go to Facebook. All of you have it, okay? That's the logo you're looking for. Thrive Student Ministries, that logo shows up. That's us. Honestly, during the school year, it changes 4 or 5 times a week. And on a day of event, you'll have multiple reminders that day. For the students, we have Instagram because that's where they're living right now. And so those are the two places for you to get information on what's going on with Thrive Student Ministries, and it is updated. I promise you that. All right. Today I want to talk for just a few minutes on something I'm calling the pilot and the plane. The pilot and the plane. When we left for Detroit on July 22nd, it was early in the morning. And we had to be there by 4 a.m. We checked in at 4. We went into our gate at gate 4. One of the parents brought donuts. Thank you. And here's the thing that happened. We were there. The gate was there. The pilots were there. Well, the plane was there, but it wasn't there. The plane was broken. Now, at gate 5, which was right next door to us, they had still us, the plane, but no pilots. Being a smart airport, they put our pilots at gate 5. They put us on that plane, shebang, shebang, we were heading to Detroit. I learned something important that day. I learned this equation. I'm a simple guy. I have simple equations. I learned that pilots plus plane equals flight. Pilots plus plane equals flight. Now, it doesn't sound like, you know, that's something monumental, but for me, pretty monumental. You have to have both to accomplish something. Now, I have been places before, I've traveled before, where the flight attendants were there, the plane was there, but the problem was the pilot that was scheduled to fly my plane was still flying somebody else's plane. We had all the necessary ingredients except, and he was flying, he just wasn't flying the aircraft that I was on. I learned something else. One without the other is no good. You have a multi-million dollar piece of hardware that's just sitting there going, oh, or some very talented people, one without the other, they can't accomplish anything. You put the two together, you're going somewhere, literally. Now, this reminds me of Eli in the Old Testament. You're going, what are you talking about? Hang in there with me. This is me, okay? Eli, of course, was the high priest, the 9th judge of Israel. This is what the high priest means. He was the authority, the spiritual authority for the children of Israel. He was the guy. Now, much of his story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1 through chapter 4, 22. He's mentioned in a few other places, but that's the bulk of it. Can we just go back a minute? He judged and led Israel for 40 years. Now, here's the legacy part of it. He raised and trained Samuel, which, by the way, was not his son. The other half of the legacy is not so good. He had two boys that the Bible refers to as evil sons, Hophni and Phinehas. So let's look. 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting with verse 12, reading out of the NIV today. Eli's sons were scoundrels. I like that word. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priest that whenever any of the people offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come in with a 3-pronged fork in his hand while the meat was boiling and would plunge the fork into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or the pot. Whatever the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. So The priests, long ago, were told by God when they were at, when the children of Israel were spending 11 months at Mount Sinai after they were taken out of captivity, God gave them rules and regulations on how life would be. The priests were set aside as the anointed people of God to lead the nation in worship, all right? And God had, when the people would bring animals to be sacrificed, they would boil the meat, then the priest would take a fork, he'd stick it in, and whatever came out, that was his portion. That's how God met he and his family's needs. Now, let's see what happens. But even before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the person who was sacrificing, excuse me, give the priest the meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw. If the person said to him, let the fat be burned first and then take whatever you want, the servant would answer, no, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force. Now, that would be like us standing at the doors and you coming in and saying, before you come in today, you need to pay us. What do you mean? Come on, give it up. And if you didn't, I'd have some big, strong security guys pick you up and shake you till money fell out of your pockets. Then I'd say, okay, come on in. That's what was happening. Instead of God providing for their needs, they were taking what they thought was best for them, no matter what God said. Wow. This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering. What's this word right here? Say it with me. It is what? Contempt. That's a strong word. Now, so these dudes, Hophni and Phinehas, beautiful Polaroid of them, they take meat to feed the priests, but not in the way God intended. What they were doing was sort of right, but they were not executing it the way God intended them to be. Instead of relying on God to meet their needs, I'm going to help myself. Now this is the sons of the spiritual leader of Israel. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of the meeting. Some commentators actually feel that they had prostitutes in the church. Wow. So he said to them, why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, the report I hear spreading among the Lord's people is not good. That's an understatement. If one person sins against another, God may mediate for the offender. But if anyone sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them? Here's the problem. Eli finally rebuked them, but it fell on deaf ears. Old man, just do your thing. Don't worry about us. We got it all under control. I submit to you today, though he rebuked, though he confronted, it came too late. It came way too late. It had been going on for years, perhaps decades, because he ruled for 40. It was too late. 1 Samuel 2:34. This is what God is saying. And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be a sign to you. They will both die on the same day. God's had it. He's absolutely fed up with the hypocrisy that's going on. This is a very, very tragic story. No doubt about it. A painful story. But here's the thing. You have a very successful man whose family falls apart. He is the high priest that rules for 40 years. And by and large, what we see he's doing with the children of Israel is not too bad. Look what he does with Samuel. But his own family is a mockery to everything he's doing. It would be nice if this was just a sweet little once upon a time. The problem is this story has been repeated throughout the millennia, throughout the centuries, throughout the decades, year after year, over and over and over and over and over and over again. Eli had neglected his sons because they grew up, say it, what's it read for me? They grew up, what is it, not caring much about what he. Can you imagine the spiritual leader of the children of Israel is your father? And they grew up not caring about what he cared about. I submit to you, he wasn't flying his plane. He was too busy trying to impact the world that he lost his family. And I want you to know today, I am not pointing fingers at anybody, because I've done it myself. Full-time career missionary, living overseas. And when my kids were little, Adita dad the most, he was working 60 to 70 hours a week trying to reach other people's kids. Now, praise God. They're 30 and 28. They're serving God, loving God. My son's down there teaching right now. But that's all God. That's not PB. And if I'm pointing at anybody today, there's five fingers coming this way. The sad part is, when mom and dad check out of the equation, when they're too busy because they're somewhere else or flying somebody else's plane, this is what happens. You, your children need you. They need you to be the pilot of your plane, which is your family. They need you. Now, it's interesting. If you talk to a male, this happens all the time. So tell me about yourself. They will give you ad nauseum their job description. They will tell you every little detail on what they do. I don't care. Who are you? And here's the issue, guys. What you do is not who you are. And so often, especially for a male, what I do is who I am. No, what you do is what you do. It's not who you are. I like watching game shows. You watch Wheel of Fortune, and they'll say to the girl, the lady contestant, he'll say, so tell me about yourself. And she'll give you a grocery list of things like this. Well, hi, Pat. I'm Sally. I'm from Bangor, Maine. I'm married to my college sweetheart. His name is Matthew. We have two gorgeous children, Isabel and Henry. I have pictures. We have a college named Fen. We like hiking, sailing, singing at my worship team. And by the way, I'm a high school English teacher. By then, Pat's ready to pass out. You know, it's all there. The grocery list. But she's told you who she is. And by the way, I also do this. Now, ladies, you also have to be careful, because too many times I also see the ladies getting so wrapped up in what they do that they're flying someone else's plane. Okay? Now, God rebukes Eli. He rebukes him for confronting his sons, and here it is, too late in life. That's what God says. I am rebuking you because you confronted your kids too late, not when it first started, but you let it slide and let it slide and let it slide, and now you're in trouble. 1 Samuel 2:29, this is God. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribe for my dwelling? He's saying this to Eli. Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Man, God's just laying it out there. And I submit to you today that what Eli has done is he's conformed to the flight plan of his children and not to God's. He's conformed to their flight plan. When a parent historically and horrifically gets lost in his or her work, the kids just get lost, period. And I'm telling you, 33 years I've worked with students, I see it all the time. The kids just get lost. Back in 1974, I was a wee puppy. No, I wasn't so wee. Harry Chapman wrote a song, Cats of the Cradle. Song went to number one, and it resonated with so many people, and here's why. Because the song is about, it starts, a child was born the other day, came in the world in the usual way. How else children come in the world, I have no idea, but it rhymed. But what it is about a dad who is too busy for his own child. He's proud of that child, but he's so busy trying to make a career that he misses out on a son. And the chorus says, we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. And the problem is, as the song goes on, the son is now an adult, has his own family and his own son, and the father is now retired and asking to spend time with his son, and the chorus is the same. We'll get together soon, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. And here's the real tragedy. Harry Chapman's wife wrote that out of a real life experience. And sadly, much of Harry's life was the same story. The dad of the song realizes too late that he spent his life piloting someone else's plane. I got on here, someone else's airline. He's piloted someone else's plane. I get it. You're beat, you're tired, we're all running at 325 miles an hour. And when you get home, you've had it. Now, let's go back, if we could, guys, just for a second. Look at Mom. My question is, guys, why is she juggling everything? If you look real close, what she's daydreaming of is taking a trip by herself. Here's the thing. Everybody is exhausted. I get it. The last thing you want to do when you get home is fight with your kids and pilot the plane. But guess what? Your job is to pilot the plane. Here's my question. If you're not the most consistent relationship your child has, then who is? Now think about that. If you're not the most consistent relationship your child has, who is? I submit to you, it may be their cell phone. And I am stunned by how many parents have no idea what their kids have on their phone. None. Absolutely none. And I hear it over and over again, pencil's too hard to control it. I'm just telling you. When the parents are busy flying his or her own career, hobbies, interest, the children are without a consistent pilot. And that's the key, guys. It's consistency. 1 Samuel 2:35, God is saying, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his priestly house, and they will minister before my anointed one always. God is going to take, because of Eli taking too long to parent his children, God's going to remove the priesthood right from his family line. Wow. So what happens? Well, these two ding-dongs think that they should take the Ark of the Covenant, which, by the way, is in the Holy of Holies, that only the high priest is supposed to see. They think they should take it into battle against the Philistines. That was a good idea. First of all, how did they get into the Holy of Holies if they weren't the high priest? Anyways, the Ark gets captured, they get killed. Here's the story. The Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. I'm telling you, when you don't pilot your plane, it can have huge, huge resounding consequences. 30,000. The Ark of God was captured. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died, just as God said. Now, the office of the high priest, again, as I said, man, this, it was hereditary. It was traced from Aaron, the brother of Moses, from the tribe of Levi. It has other responsibilities, too. On the Day of Atonement, only the high priest was allowed to enter the most holy place behind the veil to stand before the throne of God. And God's man misses the mark. The man who brought the news replied, this is a man running from battle to Eli. Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. When he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken, and he died, for he was an old man, and he was heavy. He had led the children of Israel for 40 years. One commentator writes this, and I love this. He dies a blind, fat old man, fat off of the choice foods that were meant for God, not for man. Wow. And that's how he ends his 40 years of ministry. As we get ready to wrap up, are you behind the controls of your vocation or recreation? Instead of behind the controls of your family, only you can answer that. Only you can. One thing I know, I'm accountable for the spiritual health of my family. Now, you've given me the position to be accountable to work with your kids too, but it's my family, then yours. And it's the same in your household. It's your family. And then whatever else. That's what you're accountable for. And I'll tell you this. Please, please don't leave here today thinking I'm beating you up. I'm just trying to build on what Pastor was talking about last week. And here's the thing. There are no perfect children programs. There are no perfect youth programs. There are no perfect youth leaders. There are no perfect youth pastors. There are no perfect children's pastors because there are no perfect students that go to those groups. But what I do know is this. Is that we are here and have provided as many opportunities as we can to partner with you, to help you in the spiritual well-being of your children. Not to raise your kids, but to come alongside of you and to assist you. And I would implore you today, I'd get your kids involved. Just get them involved. 33 years of working with young people, the thing I have learned is what we do because we're so tired is when we get home, we do what's convenient for you. Oh, I don't want to go to youth group tonight. I don't want to. I'm tired of fighting. Just do your thing. That's what we do. Been there. Done that. And here's the thing as we wrap up. You will be a spiritual influence on your child one way or another. That's a fact. You are going to be a spiritual influence on your child one way or another. They have been entrusted in your hands, and it's up to you to pilot your kids and, quite frankly, man the plane. Put your big boy pants on. Get her done. Now, my wife said to me, sweetheart, pilots don't have boarding passes. I know, but it makes such a great visual, doesn't it? So I'm asking you today, pick up your boarding pass, head to your gate, which is entitled Your Family, go pilot your plane. Go pilot your plane. My final thought today is this. You can't take your family someplace you haven't been nor willing to go. Obviously, you're here. This is a place you want to be. Put your children in the plane and bring them here too, will you? That's my thoughts today. Will you stand with me? Aren't you glad you came today? Well, thank you, Pencil, for grounding us into the ground. I want to take just a minute because the pastor got long-winded. I want to take just a minute. Will you pray for your family today? Now, maybe you're here, you don't have kids. That's all right. How about nephews and nieces? How about Thrive Student Ministries? How about Wombaland? How about Pastor Steve Upstreet? Will you just take a moment today to just ask God to help us as a family at Cross Point Church to take care of our families the way God asked us to and intends us to do? So let's just pray for just a moment. Father God, we come to you today humbly thanking you for being our great Father. We were your enemy and you still sent Jesus for us. God, I don't understand that, but I'm so grateful. And God, I ask you today, as we begin a new year, God, will you bless our parents in a special way? God, will you give them strength and courage? It is a world that is full of unimaginable things. And God, I pray that you give us wisdom and strength based on who you are and what you've said to us to pilot our kids. God, will you bless these people in a great way? God, this year we pray for lots of safe flights and happy landings. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we love you. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Don't forget, everything returns on September the 9th. Have a great day.